Welcome. This is week 7 of Working with the Law with transformational life coach, Christy Carotti.
Okay, hello and welcome. Today we're going to be talking about the law of compensation. And first we're going to start with our gratitudes and proud of. So let's just move to the place of setting the tone of gratitude. Something that you're grateful for. There's so many things that we're grateful for, but thinking of even one thing starts putting us in that vibrational tone, that vibrational place of gratitude. And then think of something that you're proud of, something that you have done that you are proud of. And today I'm actually going to ask another question and just see what comes up as you ask yourself this question. What is seeking to emerge through me today? This day, what is seeking to emerge through me? And that's a question that you can ask yourself each morning as well. It's a question that you can ask yourself several times during the day. And think about that as a highly calibrated question and the vibration of that question. What is seeking to emerge through me? And it's a really wonderful question to ask on a day that we're starting to talk about the law of compensation. You know, when we hear that idea of law of compensation, we think, oh, it must be about money or it must be about getting paid for what I do, because that's what the term that we're used to using for compensation, what's paid to me in return for what I have done. And, you know, it's exactly what it is, but at a more deep and profound level. And when we begin delving into this work, yes, in a sense, or on the very surface, that's the truth about the law of compensation. But the deeper meaning, the deeper experience is that what is created in our thought must be compensated in our experience. It's an absolute. What is being paid to me, showing up in my life, given to me for what I have inside my thought process. So we know that thought creates our experience, and these are not always necessarily thoughts that we think, but thoughts that we let get inside us because of lack of knowledge, because of lack of understanding, because not knowing that we have choice over our own thought process, choice over what we let inside of us. So many people are really affected by the status quo. Health is a really interesting area of that. They think that, you know, I'm an effect of my environment. I'm an effect of the physical activity and action on our planet. And so they fall victim to those types of things, cancer for one, or injuries. That they think this is the way that it works. And on one level, yes, the law of gravity, you know, we fall, we trip and fall. There is that level of law, the physical laws. But when we move into the laws of truth, these are deeper truths, and they, in a sense, trump the physical laws, if we know how to use and how to work them. And that's why we're in this study of working with the law. And so in the law of compensation, there are three steps that govern the law of compensation. And the first is that there must be a need. And so if you take a look at what you're here in the world to do, what your purpose, or at least in this moment in time, and you look at, is there a need? you know, is there a need for life coaching? Yes, there are people that want to transform their lives. Is there a need for transforming education? Yes, there are people that want a different experience out of education. Is there a need for meditative practice, teaching of yoga? Yes. So first, there must be a need. And second, there must be the ability to fill that need. So that's why we have our assets. And we talked about our 50 assets. You know, what are the assets that we bring to as our life? Not to our life, but as our life. What are our assets? And yes, we go through training. We go through study, all of these things. That creates our ability to fill that need. And then we must become very good at filling that need. And that's why we continue to practice and study. You know, we've gone through several laws that speak a lot about money and the law of receiving, but it's almost like the law of compensation is going deeper into our psyche and really digging up and looking at what is it that's inside of me that is creating that equal result out in the world. Okay, and it's our self-image. It's our sense of identity. And this is why I think the law of compensation is really a deep dive into who and what we really are. What is our self-identity? Well, we can work backwards on this a little bit, and we can say, well, what's showing up in the world out there? That there must be some equivalent to my image of myself in there. Now, we don't even need to go down and dig these things up. All we need to do is say, oh, that's not what I want to create. So what is the image in my mind, in my psyche, in my being that I want to create? You don't even need to dig up what the identity was. You just need to identify what you want in creating your sense of identity and your self-image. Although many people bring skills to life equal to ours, we need to have the sense, the image of ourselves that we are unique and divine in how and what we provide, what we bring to the world. And once we do that, once we have a true sense of our identity, a true sense of our self-image that we want to create, then everyone around us will see that, and we will become an integral part of our family, our business, our community, as we are seen, because it must be. But we must be really clear on our image of ourselves. And, of course, there is a power and a source that is greater than we are. However, we have direct access to that. We are an expression of that. And that is how we know that our thought into the thinking stuff must create that experience. Okay, so we can use the law. In fact, the law is always operating. It never changes. The law is absolute, and how we use the law determines the result we get. We can try and go around the law, make it work differently, like saying, I have low self-image, but I want good result in my life. That's not the way the law works. The law works as a reflection. This is a reflective universe. It is a reflection of our thought process. It's like the movie screen. You know, soon we're not going to be able to use this as an analogy because people aren't going to understand the idea of film in front of a light through a lens projecting the image on the screen. But that's exactly how the law of compensation works. It is equal to what is on the film. The light can only shine through the film the way that it is. It doesn't change. It doesn't say, oh, you know, I really want this image to be different as I shine light through this film. You must alter the film, which is our thought, our belief in ourselves. And I've studied this for years. We've studied this for years. And yet I can look around at my life, and I have an amazing, wonderful life. And yes, that's the compensation of my thoughts, of my belief, of my connection with the infinite, and my willingness to know the truth about my connection with the infinite. And I can also look around and see limitations. So do you want to move out of where you are? Is there something that you want to change? Is there something that you're feeling disappointed in, lack of limitation, or is just not quite right? Then we must go right to the thought. And we don't have to go to the why was it that way. We simply go to what is it that you would like to create. Now, sometimes it's helpful. You know, I understand some things about my childhood. It makes it helpful. And it reminds me when I trip up against that issue, I can just go, oh, that's that. That has no truth or no bearing on me. And now I replace my thought. But we don't have to do that. We can just go to the replacement thought. And one of the things about the law of compensation and why we study and why we come to these calls, why we practice in this, is so that we create a larger image of ourselves, of the world that we want to live, of the gifts that we want to get. Because as we do that, as we expand that, then law says, yes, comes in response to that, and it creates and draws to us things to create that, in a sense, that larger experience, that greater experience, that it's actually more in alignment experience with our true nature. However, as you know from being in this work, you must know what it is that you want. What do you really want? What areas in your life do you want to experience greater freedom? So that is where we want to put our attention, not to what caused this, what made this happen, why am I this way? We want to ask the question, what do you really want? What area in your life do you want greater freedom? And you are the designer of your life, and you can design it. Now, this is why we write out our vision. This is why we read our vision every day, is so that we can move to that place of imagining. See, sometimes I think that this work, you know, working with the law, parallels the work into your genius, where we look at the six faculties. And this one is really about imagination, the image that we create about ourselves. So we can look at habits that we want to change. A great way to look at a habit is when you say, you know, I always do this when I'm in this situation. There's a habit. We can take a look at that and say, what is the experience that we want to have in those experiences? What would you like to change? And one of the important parts of this, and it's one that is constant in my life, is order. What kind of order do you have in your life? And things can really shift by actually taking one thing and making a change, bringing order to that one thing. This was one of the first principles that I learned as I came into this work over 30 years ago, was I had a practitioner say to me, go clean out one junk drawer. I'm like, really? Just, you know, try it out and see how it works. And it was just amazing to see how one change of one drawer, I did it, went and cleaned out a junk drawer, and how much clarity that brought into my life, and then how things ricocheted and changed because I had made that order and that change. And the other key to that is how we move through life. Like, we can take a look at all of the things that we need to bring order to, and we can get overwhelmed. What does overwhelm bring into our life? If that's a thought pattern or a habit, it brings shutdown, it brings disappointment, it brings self-judgment. Think of the vibration of overwhelm. It's not a very high vibration. But if we take a look and choose one thing, one step at a time, and accomplish that one thing one step at a time, you know, you've got to keep an eye on the whole overview. It's true. It's kind of like how I teach drawing. I teach kids to draw by detail, then overview, detail, then overview. But you want to be developing the whole image at the same time, or you have a lot of good focus in one area, and then the other often doesn't get developed up to the same image. So you want to create the overall vision, and then you want to go in and work on the details, step back, choose another detail, go in and work on that, step back, work on the overall view, go into detail, step back. So this is a really great method. You know, they have actually proven scientifically that we don't multitask, that our brain goes on and off, on and off. Okay, so on one item, on to another, but it shuts off and shuts down. And that we actually have a better flow of energy if we go in and focus on one thing. So, for example, I've been out of town for a while. Things get messy in my office. Through Life Solutions, one of the gifts that I've received is 1 hour sand timer. Very cool. And the intention is to spend 1 hour working, just focused in that work, and to have a nice little model of doing that. And so I took that and used that yesterday to clean up our spare room in my office. It's all in one. And it's just absolutely amazing what I was able to accomplish in that 1 hour rather than multitasking. So that's one of the things about bringing order into your life. This is a statement that Mary made. If some habit possesses, or worse, obsesses you, you are not the master of your life until you decide, and you have that power to decide to change that habit. Now, if you've been brought into the world and you experience lack and limitation, and your whole patterning or upbringing brought you to believe that life is a struggle and there's never enough and we need to meager out our little bit of the world, it's a pattern of ideas. It's not how the world is. And there are so many, many people who live and die never knowing any different from what has been handed down to them. And the trick about this is you don't know what you know until you know it. My dad, he was a high school teacher. He taught machine shop for most of my childhood and beyond. And he used to carry around these cards and he'd give them to his kids and give them out to everybody. And they said, the mind is like a pair of pantyhose. Once they're stretched out, they never return to their original state. That's true. But the trick to that is how do you expand your mind? Okay, so let's take the idea of lack and limitation. If you have been raised in lack or limitation, then how do you know any different? How do you know the experience of something that you haven't experienced? And so it takes a real unraveling. It takes a real paying attention. And one of the important things is alter your mind right where you are and begin to notice that you start attracting being aware of it. So this is the idea of noticing that you're noticing. So the first step is not to make the change of the habit or the idea or the belief, but it's start to notice. Okay, so if we notice that there is some discontent around our finances, it's easy to talk about finances with the law of compensation. It's a real clear picture of being able to see the law of compensation in effect. So if we have the discontent, we start by noticing the discontent. And as we notice the discontent, then the more we notice it, the more we can begin to unravel the thought, the thinking of what might be a belief system that I brought into my experience that I don't even know that I'm living from. And that's setting a new set of beliefs, like looking outside. This is, to me, what I teach in creative thinking. It's really to stop and look at what are you not seeing. When I was a child and we drove and drove and drove, we were a driving family. I mean, we drove back to Arkansas. We drove always up and down the West Coast to see grandparents. And just for an outing, we would just go drive out in the country, you know. So we were a driving family. And especially on the long expanses of roads, I would play this game with myself of trying to see something that, first of all, I have never seen before. And I used the effort to see something that has never been seen before. Like maybe it's a collection of things. I had a little gathering on Sunday with some of the young adults that had traveled to Africa with me, and we were going over to see the baby of one of the other members of that trip. And we were driving in the car together, and every once in a while I would just like look and see just like the perfect scene. And I'm like, oh, look at that. I want to paint that. You know, and so I have the painter eyes. You know, that's one way that I do it, to look out in the environment and see something, a way of putting things together in a way that might not have been seen before. And so we want to do that and reflect on that in that way in our lives, to look and say, okay, so first look at our discontent. What is not quite allowing us the amazing freedom that we want to experience? That's what we should feel in everything that we experience, is a great freedom, an expansive life. Does it give me life? Okay. And if the answer is, yeah, there's a little bit of rattle here, or oh, there's a little bit of discontent here, we want to notice that. Wow, look, there's the discontent. And then we start looking at it and saying, what is the limiting belief? Well, in money, it's like, well, the rich have it and the poor don't, you know, or whatever all those thoughts are that we have. And we can often turn to our parents, the environment that we lived in, or we can look around to the friends, the people that we hang out with. And there's this concept that if you take the average of everyone's income that you hang out with, that basically could be your income. That would be the status quo level that you live at. Now, if you're in this work consciously, there's two things that you can do in that direction. One is to notice that and to go, I'm not going to buy into that status quo. I'm not going to limit myself to the income of those that are around me. And the other is to seek out people that do have a higher income. Now, it's not about the money, remember. It's about the vibration, and it's about the freedom that it causes. Now, one of my newer friends is this couple that have worked in the criminal justice system, and both are retired. And they are just having the time of their lives right now. In fact, they left yesterday to go on a cruise that's going to take them to the Panama Canal, and I think they're ending up in Aruba or something like that. I mean, is that just like delicious and wonderful? And it's like, I want to rub shoulders with these people. Why? Because I want to increase my income? No, because I want to experience that freedom of being in that vibrational frequency of loving life, of fully expressing. So it's the vibration, it's not the thing itself. So also in this, they talk about environment a lot. And so what is your environment like? And they talked about a business that was failing, and so they sold the business, and the new owners came in and cleaned everything out, made it more inviting, did things that really brightened it up, made it look cleaner, and the business increased. So was it the physical thing that they did? Oh, yes, but it's also the vibrational, that physical thing. Remember, everything is a vibration. So it's that vibration of bringing that into our experience. I often talk about, if we live life from a victim, then we stay a victim, and that we attract being a victim. And the thing to let go of, to not be a victim, is blame. When you're blaming other people, it is just not correct. So it's not the other person. It's not the law. It is you who is wrong. So we can't blame the law, and we can't blame other people. We need to take a look at ourselves and see what decisions we are making that is causing the discord. Now, this is a practice. This is a practice. If we attract the unpleasant, it is often because of some dormant or neglected phase of our nature that needs to be awakened and developed. So that's the first thing that we can do to celebrate this. So when we feel like we want to move into a place of blame, whether it's a personal relationship or it's a political situation, I mean, we can blame the president, we can blame the political leaders in other countries or anything. Sure, we can blame them. And what does that create? That creates that experience in our own personal lives. So what can we do to make the greatest change is we can take that into ourselves and say, what needs to be awakened and developed in me to see that as a stepping stone rather than a stumbling block? And that's the wonderful thing about looking at the law of compensation, to be able to do a turnaround. When I was at one of Mary's retreats, I was in a room that had a common door, but it was locked, of course, but it was a common door, so you hear more of the sounds. It turned out to be the bride's gathering room, and this particular bride was having a bridesmaid's breakfast in there. And it woke me up at like 6:30 or something like that in the morning. And my first thought was, wow, how unfortunate I am to have this room. And could they maybe tone it down a little bit? And should I knock on the door and tell them to be quiet? And then I thought, no, I'm going to turn my thoughts around here. This bride is having her wedding day with her bridesmaids. And how beautiful and lovely is that? And it was as if the sound of the voices turned from screeching and interruption into music and melody, because I chose to turn around how I was listening to it. And I allowed myself to flow back to just before my wedding day. I had special time with my bridesmaids and things like that. And just, you know, I allowed it to take me to a lovely place. So how do we choose to look at our experience of life? Life is not happening to us unless we believe that. Life is happening through us, and we get to make the choice and the decision of how we live this life. And then coming back to that question, what is seeking to emerge through us? You know, all around us, there are always opportunities. And we want to open to those opportunities and recognize that they're everywhere. They're actually looking for us. And we want to look at the good in every situation and in order for us to have good in our own lives. So the other interesting thing about compensation is that if we are competing, we are not creating. Okay, if we're creating, we are not competing. So there's that creative energy. And Bob Proctor talks about the idea of pie. And if we think of competition, it's like, I want my piece of pie and maybe I want a bigger piece of pie. But in the idea of creativity, we can just create more pie. And in the arena of business, that's such a wonderful concept of like, I'm not competing with you. How can I work with you? How can we be creative in this? How can we create more? And this is a really powerful tool to take a look at how we are creating the life that we want to live. Are we competing or are we creating? And then the last thing I want to talk about is how we are thinking out there in the world. Are we searching for something for nothing? So this is important. Are we searching for something for nothing? So we want to really think about, and even the idea of cheap. Are we looking for cheap? Are we always looking for the bargain? And it's not that we have to overpay, but we want to look at, are we looking for the value in things rather than always looking for the cheap? How do we show up in life? How do we use our money? How do we use our time? Are we using it cheerfully, gratefully? We want to increase our appreciation for everything, everything, even the things that we think are not supportive of us. We want to find a way to be grateful for that. And we want to continually ask ourselves, is there more value in this event that I want to exchange my time or my money for? Whatever your life looks like right now, you ordered it. You ordered it through your thought. And therefore, that's the good news, because you can create it any way that you want it.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. Here are two exclusive podcast listener offers. First, for a limited time, podcast listeners can work with Christy in person at a deep discount. Christy offers a unique coaching modality of her own creation that helps clients discover their own answers to where they're stuck and how to move forward. As one of her clients puts it, it always works. This transformative process is designed to help you identify blocks and create breakthroughs in your personal and professional life. As a thank you for listening to the podcast, you're eligible for a special discount. Normally $97 for a half-hour introductory session, podcast listeners get a $70 discount automatically applied if you use this link, masteringtheartoflife.com/podcast-IWD-offer. That's masteringtheartoflife.com/podcast-IWD-offer. And that link is in the podcast general description as well. Second, you can get the entire library of Mastering the Art of Life with PDF notes and worksheets for each lesson, plus bonuses at no cost at masteringtheartoflife.com/9-month-opt-in, all one word, masteringtheartoflife.com/9-month-opt-in. That link is also in the general podcast description.